tomorrow.
Welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Money and Change with Stu Scheer. And we broadcast live all over the world on Trim Radio Network. And you can come on over, you can buy merchandise, you can listen in, you can message us. And I'll tell you what, we would love to have you on us as our Trim Radio Network team. We'll show you how easy it is to do. So if you want to do it, just drop us a message and we'll show you how. The opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. Any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. That includes any and all medical and health professional information as well. And we expressly deny any liability resulting from therein. Anyway, folks, that song right here, price tag, covered under our BMI music license, 615-1658. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. And I am going to dump this off to Stu real quick because I am in the middle of booting up another computer at the same time. So, Stu, I hope that you have a wonderful time. And I'm going to let you run with it, brother.
That's what happens when you get popular building computers, I'll tell you. Well, anyhow, guys, welcome to Money and Change. It's our Sunday edition on October the 8th. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's been one heck of a week. And about the last 3 days were really hectic for me. So we're in the process of just getting back to normalcy here, whatever normal is. I'll save that for Wednesday night on Live, Laugh, and Whatever. Well, anyhow, our disclaimer for Money and Change is the information contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinion of the owners of this program. Nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. And you should always do your own research and consult with professionals. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. That's my disclaimer, and I'm going to stick to it. Well, guys, like I said, it's been a wild, basically 4 days. And I had a really good time at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. And I spent a little bit of time there. And so I had to go down for homecoming. And homecoming in Athens is very interesting, to say the least. So we had to get some prep work done for the show. We had to get everything packed and try to guess what type of weather we're having. And it was supposed to be sunny on Friday, which it was. And then Saturday, we were supposed to have some cool weather to start with, but we didn't count on the rain. We had a little bit of rain, about the first half of the game. And then when the OU marching band comes out, better known as the Marching 110, everybody hangs around for that. And the football game was very good. But halftime is when the band comes out, and that is an exciting time. And having been in that band when it first started with this concept back in 1967, it's grown and grown and grown, and it's really a good band under the director of Dr. Rick Sook. And he's always done a good job since he's been there. And they've had several directors from the time that I was there under Gene Thrailkill, Dr. Gene Thrailkill, who was out at Oklahoma University. So he went from one OU to the other OU. And he started everything, the whole style and uniform and everything. So having been part of that original group, I always go down for homecoming. And it gets interesting. A lot of stuff goes on in the big parade before the game. It was out of sight. And I saw this guy walking down the street, and he had a dog with him, and he had a ball on a tether in his back pocket, and the dog was going up and down the crowd. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Next thing I know, he was a police officer, and that was a drug dog, so they were sniffing for crazy stuff. They didn't find any in the area where I was at, thank goodness. We had probably about, 20,000 to 30,000 people watching the parade. And then at the game, we had close to 30,000. But the interesting thing was that the marching band for OU has about 250 in the band. But then we had over 500 in the alumni band. We almost had 1,000 people, if not a total 1,000 on the field for halftime, playing some really good music. And no college marches or anything. This was modern day composer music, and it was good. I mean, they play stuff from Boston, Chicago, all kinds of stuff. And this time, it was interesting. And I know the guy that writes the arrangements, Mike Wojtek, who's a graduate of OU, and he's an excellent arranger. And I've known a couple of arrangers in my lifetime, and one was James Swearingen, who used to do the arrangements for the Ohio State University. And matter of fact, I taught with Jim Schweringen a long time ago. And then, John Higgins, I knew him from when I was in college. He was a major arranger. And then Mike Wojtek, who is fantastic. He is really outstanding. And so we all had a good time down in Athens. And I didn't get a chance to do a lot of research for the show. And I'm sweating because I'm trying to find out what's going on in the world of finance and everything. And I'm not finding too much because Athens is kind of like down in the hills in southeastern Ohio. And it's probably about 50 miles from the Ohio River. And you're kind of insulated down there. They have about 30,000 students on campus, and it's beautiful. That campus is probably one of the top 10 most beautiful campuses in the country. I mean, it's beautiful, but you have to learn to walk in the hills. I swear, one leg gets shorter than the other one. We did a lot of walking. I figured in the 2 days that we were actually on campus, I probably did about 10 miles, about 5 miles a day. And luckily I found a free place to park. I'm not going to tell everybody where it was, but I found a free place. They never bother me. And they always have a spot for me, and I appreciate it. Oh, so much on the Ohio University homecoming. Check them out. Just Google Ohio University or the Marching 110. And check them out. I mean, I had a fun time, but it got cold. I had to buy another coat while I'm down there to put over the coat that I had. And the coat that I had was a Land's End coat. I mean, an insulated coat, a really nice insulated coat, but it was too cold, too windy, and wet. So being the OU fan that I was, I went to the bookstore. And I thought the prices had been raised a little bit, especially, you know, when the parents come to town. And I'm looking at something that I could put over this other good coat that I have. And I found one and I decided, okay, I'm going to get it. I looked at the price, $79, $79. And I swear, if you went out and bought this coat any other place, it would be probably 60. But since parents and visitors are coming to the university and because it had the logo, then the prices were up. And I started to look at some of the other prices that they had on everything. And that was, they were a lot higher than what you would get other places. I mean, if I could have gone to Walmart or some other place, I could have gotten things a lot cheaper. But because it said Ohio University, you pay more. Well, I paid more. I have fun doing that. You walk around, you look at the t-shirts and the hats and the coats and other stuff. It's interesting to see the price. And yeah, they did have some cheap t-shirts. They looked at too. $8.88 for a t-shirt. It was an experience. That was about the cheapest thing you could find. And they would look cheap. Everything else was like $25 and higher. So beware when you go to a college campus that you have to take some money with you. Unfortunately, at Ohio University, they don't take cash. The bookstore takes cash because it's a private enterprise, but the university itself doesn't take cash. I went to have lunch in the Baker Center, and I thought, well, I would just go to this place called Latitudes, and it was called 32 Latitudes, to be specific. And it was run by the student catering division, or the hospitality management college. And it was interesting to see that they were doing that. Not too many colleges have that, but they do. And the food was excellent. Our waitress was excellent. Matter of fact, she was actually the manager of the day for that place. The food was fantastic. And I got to talk to her and a few other people there that actually worked there, and to find out what classes they were taking and how long their coursework would be. And of course, it's a full 4 years. And they take everything from being the chef in the back of the house in the kitchen, all the way up to the front, managing the books and everything else. And they learned that, and also catering and big event management. And I'm very impressed. So hats off to the OU Culinary Division. They were fantastic. But the prices are up, and I noticed that. Gas prices down there was about $2.39 when you were outside the city of Athens, and when you got into the college town, everything was about $3.45 a gallon. And then finally, when I got back home, it was $3.12 a gallon. I thought, boy, that's great. And then I checked another place, it was $2.98 a gallon. So I thought, hey, things are coming down. But now that we have some action going on over in the Middle East again, because people can't behave, gas prices are going to go up. So you can figure on that probably spiking within the next 2 weeks, and it will continue to go up. And so that's got me a little bit concerned. Oh, we forgot to do shout outs. Hey, the shout outs that I've got to do, Trim Radio Network, always a big pat on the back to Michael Bejas and the gang. A bunch of really good people, really good shows. You have to check them out on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. Fantastic shows. Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. Well, congratulations, Phil, at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. You will soon have a really good swinging computer, courtesy of Michael Bejas. And of course, you paid for it, but you're going to be surprised at what you get, because Michael does an excellent job. I know I have one. Big shout out to the University of Findlay. That's www.findlay.edu. The University of Findlay is an NCAA Division II school. And they have very good facilities, and they give out doctorate degrees, master's degrees, bachelor degrees, and other advanced studies. Good school, great professors. However, Ohio University is a Division One sports team, NCAA Division One sports team, and they have a lot of good programs there too. I have to pat them on the back for everything that they do at the Ohio University. At the Ohio University, I can't say Ohio State. Because Ohio University was the first university in Ohio, believe it or not, way back when. But back to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. Phil is doing an excellent job. He's doing the center sections, which are the blanks, is what they call them. And he'll do the artwork for you, custom artwork, and create the centers, and you can have those machined, and you can build your own pens from there. Also, he makes some excellent pens. The Second Amendment pen that he makes is fantastic. He's got a couple different designs for that. Check them out. Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. It's RUSTYDUK'S Custom Pens and Blanks. Facebook. Big shout out for Money and Change. That's this show. And that's every Sunday night. We try to be live every Sunday. We could have done a replay for tonight, but I decided, hey, we need to go live because there's so much stuff going on. And I hustled back from Cincinnati or from Columbus and down at Lancaster and Athens. Athens was where we had the halftime and all that kind of stuff in the game and all the partying and so forth. And then we stayed in Lancaster, which is about 45 minutes to the north. And then it's only about 30 minutes to Columbus from Lancaster and then all the way back over to my home base in Western Ohio. And it's been a long day, and I probably had about 2.5 hours sleep in 2.5 days. And I'm not a party person. They're just people from weddings. They like to get out in the hallway in the hotel and constantly gab at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And then eventually they go to bed. Did not make for a lot of sleep. And then you're up in the morning early to get to Athens or to leave to come here and then do the prep for the show. So it's been a crazy time. My World, Life, Laugh, and Whatever. Hey, check us out Wednesdays at 8 p.m. I'll be going into some more stuff about what happened down in Athens. It was a great time. I really liked it. Check out Brad and Krista at the Big Family Homestead. Check out Danny and Wanda King at Deep South Homestead down in Wiggins, Mississippi. Good people. Check out Dave Kobler at Southern Prepper One. Dave's got his boots on the ground, and he's talking about all kinds of stuff that's going on. Matter of fact, he was talking about COMO. Do you know what COMO is? Communications. It's communications. And like I always talk to people about getting a GMRS radio. Hey, it's only $35. The license is good for 10 years. You don't have to take a test. You can get these, and your family members can all stay in contact. Now, this one has a much longer antenna because I want to increase the range a little bit. And this is a, oh, it's a KG35G Plus. It's about $169. You can get them as cheap as $35. But cheap isn't necessarily good. And so I upgraded the antenna to a Nagoya antenna. It's about 15 inches long, and it should get better range. I've got the other GMRS radios that I've got have been upgraded to the Nagoya 771G. And that's supposedly one of the best. And they're not that expensive. You can get them on Amazon, or Better Safe radios, or buy two-way radios. It's out there, but it's good for communication, and you can go anywhere from a mile line of sight up to 10 miles with these. I've also got another unit that I'm having to test, and I just got the power supply for it, and it's a 20 watt, and it should be able to get me out about 30 miles. That's going to go in the car. And but I've got it arranged so I can do it in the car or in the house. I just had to wait for a power supply to come in. Does it seem like I'm prepping? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on out there that we need to prep for. While I was down in Athens, I was listening to CNN and other stations and Fox and so forth. It was all cable, and they were talking about the problems in Israel versus, I guess now it's Iran or Hamas or whatever. And they're starting up this war. They just, neither side learns to behave, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm listening to all this and I'm thinking of the markets and what is that going to do to the markets that we have in the States or the world? But what's that going to do to the price of oil? What's that going to do with other goods and services? It's scary. It really is. I mean, somebody could do something really stupid. And I know there are politicians out there that are pretty stupid people, in my opinion. No matter where they are in the world, we have some stupid people. Let's face it. They're not like common people like us. And you wonder what that's going to do to the markets. And I was looking around this afternoon and I said, man, I got to post a couple of videos. I didn't have the chance to do that down in Athens. And I thought, well, I'm going to be doing some digging. Well, I found this guy and I really couldn't pronounce his name. It's MD something or other. I'll put it that way. But I posted the video on Money and Change / Financially Prepped. It's our Facebook page. And it's called Survival Haul. And it's a prepper food pantry haul. And he's saying time is running out. Dave Kobler is saying time is running out. Other people are saying time is running out. And if I don't mention Appalachian Homestead with Patara, you're missing out. She's a fantastic person, very common sensible person. And she's good. You have to listen to her. That's Appalachian Homestead on YouTube. My mind, you know, about 2.5 hours sleep. In a few days, my mind gets dull very quickly. I've been trying to have enough caffeine to keep going. Being around a lot of people, oh man, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for these little magical pills, ivermectin, okay? Greg Hunter is always talking about ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and so forth. I was lucky to find some ivermectin. And after being around a lot of different people, I made sure that I took one every night to be ready the next day. I didn't want to catch any, we'll say cooties. But anyhow, they're all talking, hey, something's going to happen. It's bound to. And so what are we going to do? You know, a friend of mine, Jerry, that's a GMRS radio person. He's also a ham radio operator. But Jerry's not a ham. He's a ham radio operator. He also does GMRS. He knows a lot about radios, and we've been talking back and forth about different things on these radios. But we're looking at the survival end of it. What happens if something goes wrong and it affects the canning industry? Maybe the people that make the pull tabs on the top of the cans, they can't get their product. So things suddenly start to dry up. Or you can't get certain goods at different stores, and the shelving units start going bare. It's like COVID times, you know, the bug, the Wuhan flu. How do we prep for that? Well, anyhow, this guy's talking about his survival haul. Basically Walmart, different canned goods, different things, rice, soups, canned meats, things like that. And he's saying it's time to do that. Because if you haven't started, you're in trouble. And that's what I've been talking about on this show. So before we get into the financial stuff, pay down your debt. Put some money aside. Store long-term foods that you will eat. Don't buy canned corned beef hash if you don't like corned beef hash. Soups, as long as the cans aren't dented, bulging, or have a foul odor when you open them up, they're good to go. And they're probably going to be good to go for 5, maybe even up to 10 years. It just depends on the cans. You have to check them really good and then check the stuff. But get the stuff that you like to eat. Be able to purify and store water. Now, if you want to go out to Walmart or Kroger's and buy jugs of water, that's fine. The big jugs of water that they sell, that's fine. If you have a dispenser, if not, you'll have to find a way to get that water out of the jug and whatever you're going to use it for. Do you have a Berkey water filter? Berkey. It's great. I've had one for between 8 and 10 years, and it's good. Our local water has a little bit of a chlorine smell to it. I think they use sodium hyperchlorate. Well, anyhow, what I do is I put it from the tap, which has a filter on it, by the way, a pure filter, P-U-R. And I take that and I put it into the Berkey filter, which has a storage container at the top and the bottom, and the filters are in between. It not only takes out the taste and smell and some of the bad cooties that are in the water, it also takes out the fluoride. Those are extra filters. And so I don't have any fluoride in my water that I'm drinking. And it's good tasting water. But do you have a Berkey water filter? I don't make any money from mentioning the name. I don't want to make any money. I want to be able to help people. And you can take pond water, run it through a Berkey, and have pure water at the very end after it gets done. It's a pretty good deal. Do you have the suitable clothing for the winter? Do you have coats? I mean, here in the States, it's starting to get cold. Starting to have a rainy season now that we're into October. Are you prepared for that? Do you have a good first aid kit? You know, when I travel, I have an IFAC, individual first aid kit, and which is a small one that I can take with me any place. But I also have a bigger one that I keep in the car. Do you have flashlights? Do you have batteries? A lot of things to consider. And you're saying, well, I'm not a prepper. Well, you're going to have to learn to be frugal. You're going to have to learn to prep. You're going to have to be able to go to the grocery store and get 5 extra cans of food each week, or every time you go to the grocery for that matter, get 5 extra cans, something that you like, and then build that up over a period of time, and you'll be good. Do you have freezers? Do you have meat in the freezers? How about frozen vegetables in the freezers? Something to check into, really. Because things are going to get tough. They are. So check us out, moneyandchange.com/financiallyprepped. Hey, there was an article that came out, I believe it was on Zero Hedge. It was authored by Daisy Luther from the Organic Prepper blog. And she said, Costco is selling out of gold bars. The economic crisis can no longer be hidden. I didn't know that Costco sold gold bars. Now, an ounce of gold, I think last time I checked, was something like $1,900 and change for a 1 ounce gold piece. A gold bar is, oh man, I couldn't afford that. Besides, it's way too heavy. If you get a 1/10 ounce, that's fine. But she's saying, at Costco, it seems like you can get whatever you need for the zombie apocalypse. I didn't see any zombies down in Athens while I was there. Party animals, yes, but no zombies. A savvy shopper can be, can purchase anything from massive bulk pack of toilet paper that they can barely fit inside the trunk of their car to gold bars. Well, why are so many people buying gold? Well, Daisy is saying, according to the reports, it's all about feeling of uncertainty. And given the abnormal circumstances the United States finds itself, that's the most normal response in the world. And if you can't afford gold, then buy silver. And every time you buy precious metals, it's a hedge against calamity. If you have a depression coming and you have gold, you have something to barter with. If you have silver, you have something to barter with because the dollar's not going to be worth the paper it's written on. Maybe that's why I spent a lot of dollars at the college bookstore. And in Athens, maybe I'm getting rid of all my paper money so I can get into debt in credit card money. When I get that bill, I'm going to pay it off because I don't believe in paying interest. Everything is paid off. And if I can afford to put a little bit more on the card, like I did this time when I went to Ohio University, okay, I won't have such a big bill when I get back. But people are looking at hedging, and it's kind of protection. And you notice that a lot of wealthy people have bought a lot of gold recently. It's a hedge against calamity. The value of the gold may go way up, but the dollar bill itself may go way down. But the value of the gold and silver a hedge against that calamity. Now, silver, at the last time I checked, was like $26, I believe, for a 1 ounce coin. That's poor man's gold. But you had to pay an extra $10 because it's hard to get silver now. They're not ma mining as much of it. Maybe in the future they will. I've heard that there's a big gold reserve out west. They won't say where. But it's on federal land. So there's extra gold to be had. But people are buying it. The value of precious metals has been on the up and up for the last 5 years, and gold rising from roughly $1,200 an ounce in 2019 to $1,825 an ounce, according to this last Tuesday. But I've seen it as high as 1900 an ounce. So it's like buy now before prices go up again. And you have to look at the current value of the US dollar. The demand for gold is going to be up there. Demand for gold exchange traded funds, EFTs, as they call them. Don't touch them. Don't touch EFTs. Don't, no paper certificates of any kind, gold or silver. It's paper. Will you ever get your gold back? No, in my opinion. You look at the interest rates, the geopolitical factors, the cost of gold production and everything. You have to look at everything. And then if you have the money to do it, fine. If you don't have the money to do it, invest in food. Okay? People keep talking about recessions, and there was a guy by the name of Law Ka Chung at Epoch Times, and he's saying we've been emphasizing that the yield curve is a very powerful prediction of recession, that whenever a 3 month yield on bonds is lower than that of a 10-year by over 50 basis points or BPSs. According to him, for over 2 months, the inversion is reliable. So what he's saying, there's a long gap from the beginning of inversion to the start of recession, usually the range of 4 to 6 quarters with a mean of 5. And the usual time needed to for a rate hike to be effective is roughly 4 to 6 quarters. Gee whiz, so what's happening? He's saying as a growth driver, investment ranks higher than output, which is a higher than normal consumption. And knowing all of these, it'll be relatively easy to judge the cycle status by looking at the investment type data. And if you're looking at consumption, if we don't buy, that tells you that people don't want to spend their money, right? If people spend less, companies make less, they can't afford to keep people, they start laying people off, they stop making goods, and we're in a recession. After the Woohoo flu, a lot of mom and pop businesses went out of business, didn't they? Or when they came back, it was a really long, hard row to hoe, as the Midwest term says. Some people, you know, they get laid off and they go, woe is me, and you're getting in the unemployment line and so forth. And some people say, nah, I can't do this. I got to do something else. I got to start my own business. Some people get in the cookie business. They bake things. They love to bake. So they have a bakery, or they bake cookies or cakes or pies or whatever, because they like to do it and there's a market for it and people will buy it. Some people like to make things, like to invent things. You know, Michael likes to build computers for the heck of it, and he's very good at what he does. And he helps out his friends, and he will build a computer like he did me. It's a top-end computer. It's a gaming computer. It's excellent. It has 5 fans to keep it cool, so that means it's a power guzzler, but it's very, very, very good. And so he likes to do that. Some people play musical instruments, so they play, in the musical term, gigs, and they play with bands and so forth, and they go out and they make their money that way. Other people like to maybe set up a small store selling pizza, or some people want to sell clothing, college, university clothing type things. They have a lot of things with different businesses. And you could have a side job, a side hustle, as they like to call it. You know, my dad was a banker, but to put us through college, he decided to rent and sell typewriters. And back in those days, typewriters were like computers. People had to have them. They needed them repaired. And so after work, he would have dinner, say hi to the family, then go out to the shop that he had, and he would work on things out there. And if he didn't have anything going on there, then he would go bowling, or he would go up to the Elks or any one of the other organizations that he belonged to. But it was a side job. And he did okay at it. And he got 2 kids through college. So, you know, that was an interesting time of it. So it's depending on what you want to do, how you want to make money. Be very educated as to how you do it. But people are looking for that to make money. Whether it's a little extra money, you know, cleaning houses or detailing cars or whatever, people are doing it to generate some money on the side. And if they get laid off, then they have to find something that they can really make some money at. I knew a person that had a problem with some funds, ended up with a detailing business. I mean, he ships cars all over the United States after he details them. And these are high-end cars. you know, you're talking Mercedes-Benz, Maseratis, things like that. Big, big expensive cars. He does that. He's very good at what he does. And at a minimum of $250 a pop to detail the car on the outside. Now, that's not counting the inside. That's making some serious money, but it's a little bit of work effort in it. If I can get my mouth working here tonight. Hey, did you know that the feds, the guys in Washington, D.C., spent $3.3 billion on furniture during the pandemic years? And it was in something by Andrew Andrzejewski at Open the Books. And the key takeaway from everything is Congress fights overspending. We want to show that members are appropriating and wasting and sometimes hiding massive amounts of money from the taxpayers. For instance, in 2021, at the peak of the pandemic, Adams says the Center for Disease Control and Prevention spent $237,960 on solar powered picnic tables. We wonder if they include a social distancing app. And the State Department dialed up nearly $120,000 brand new Ethan Allen leather recliners for its embassy in Islamabad. I'll get it pronounced right. $120,000 for recliners. That's how they like to spend your money. And that's ridiculous. You know, $600 for a toilet seat or $600,000 for a toilet seat or whatever. They're insane. According to this report, the Fed spent $26 million on furniture for their conference rooms while their meetings were held on Zoom. Just like using this camera that I've got, I'm talking to you guys. Zoom meetings, and here they're spending a whole bunch of money. They spent, $700,000 by the Security and Exchange Commission for their New York Regional Office conference room? They need to go on a diet, gang. I'm sorry. They spend our money just like it's flowing out of a tap. Free money, let's go ahead and spend it. When I worked for the government, we had to account for everything that we spent. Everything. And if we weren't good stewards with the public's money, I want to tell you something. We would hear it, and we would hear it very quickly. You don't spend like it's running out of control. Well, it is running out of control. They are overspending, and they should have their finger slapped for it. Maybe it ought to be taken out of their pensions. That would stop them spending. Well, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation spent $14.4 million on new furniture for its 1,000 employees. And that's about $14,400 per employee. And despite federal employees working from home, the agencies continue to splurge on furniture purchases, according to the report. And there were no material difference in the amount of federal agencies collectively spent on office furniture between 2018 and 2022, according to the report. And this is how the agencies break out. Transportation used just 9% of its office space, but spent $55 million on furniture. The Department of Agriculture used 9% of its office space as well and spent $57 million on furniture. The General Service Administration, or GSA as it's known, also hit a 9% usage and found about $308 million for furniture. Veterans Affairs used 16% of its office space, but spent more than $428 million on furniture. The Department of Defense used 23%, according to the report, of its space and spent $1.2 billion on furniture. And the Department of Justice used 35% of its office, yet spent $408 million on furniture. Department of State spent $302 million, and the Homeland Security spent $156 million on furniture. I don't know about you, but I got a problem with that. Okay? I have a problem with it. You know, I was looking around this afternoon, and there was a report on Yahoo Finance, and it came through CNN. And Walgreens walkout, your pharmacy might be closed next week. Gee, next week is like Monday. And according to the CNN report, employees of two of the largest drugstore chains in the United States say harsh working conditions make it difficult to safely fill prescriptions, which could put the health of their customers at risk. And now they're demanding change by staging a series of walkouts across the country. Pharmacy employees at some Walgreens, including pharmacists, technicians, and support staff, are planning a walkout between October 9 through October 11, according to an organizer who was asked to remain anonymous because of retribution. And employees at more than 500 of America's approximately 9,000 Walgreens stores across the United States, according to the report, have expressed interest in solidarity. A Walgreens, a pharmacy employee, and a walkout organizer said. The plan action comes after pharmacy employees walked off the job at multiple CVS stores in the Kansas City area last week. So if you need medications, you want to check to see if Walgreens and CVS are going to be open. And make sure that you have enough medications. Okay? Make sure. I always have some spares. And ivermectin was very expensive, and I had to get that basically out of the country and then have it delivered, and that was expensive. But after being around a lot of people, like I said, the night before I would go someplace, I would take ivermectin. The next day, when I got back to the hotel, and before I went to bed, I took another ivermectin. Because supposedly it's a good antiviral, and I can't afford to get sick. And after having to sit out in light rain, in cool winds at a football game, oh, which, by the way, it happened last year and it happened this year. Windy and rainy game. And luckily, actually, not luckily, OU won the game. They won it pretty handily. I think 42-10, something like that, 42-17 against Kent State. But I'm sitting out there trying to, you know, get the vibe of the games and everything. And I'm really interested in college sports and college football. And then it was halftime, and the band came out. And last year and this year, the clouds parted and the sun came out when the band got on the field. And then when the band finished up and they went back up in the stands, almost 1,000 people, the clouds gathered back over. Partly cloudy, and it stayed that way for a while. But it was amazing. The band comes on the field, and the clouds depart, and the beam of light comes down and shines on. It was something to see. It really was. Hey, there's a problem with olive oil. How many of you use olive oil? You know, when I cook, I sometimes mix olive oil with butter or maybe a little bit of Crisco. Maybe just a little bit. I don't use a lot of olive oil, even though it's really good for you. I don't. But there was an article that came out, Rich Kazmer at TCD, according to Yahoo. A new threat could send the price of this particular cooking staple soaring because the industry is in crisis. And a heat wave crisis in Europe will spike the price of something in your kitchen pantry, namely olive oil. And the hot weather in the southern part of Europe has caused it. Are actually taking a toll on olive trees. And that was a research thing that CNN came up with. They said the olive crops are feared to be low for a second consecutive year as trees drop their produce early to protect themselves against the heat and droughts. So when the temperature reaches 104 degrees Fahrenheit, according to CNN, then the olives get dropped and the tree wants to survive. I don't know how good that the oil is going to be. And you always want to keep it in a dark, cool place and keep it out of the sunlight. And it might last you for a year or more. That's up to you. And they're saying in July, the price was marked at about $8,599 per metric ton. That's about $7,800 per ton. That's a sharp increase from last summer when it was like $5,660 per ton. So prices are going to go up. Prices are going up all over the place. Let's face it. Prices of gasoline are going to go up. Prices of olive oil is going to go up. University clothing at bookstores, they're going to go up, especially when parents show up with the money. So what's that do to us? We have to be able to, when we go out, for example, I went to an IHOP. I took a friend. We went to the IHOP in Lancaster, Ohio, International House of Pancakes. Since we don't have any here, we thought, okay, we're just going to get burgers and fries, and we'll see how it is. We had a card for $25, and our total bill was like $35. IHOP years ago used to be in the range of, well, $15 for two people, but then things keep going up and up and up. And the food that we had was good, but it was expensive. More expensive than IHOP last year. And you're going to run into that in just about any restaurant you decide to go to, even a local one that I like to go to, and which we did when we got back into town. We went to a place called The Lighthouse, and they were busy. But lunch for two, which again were same thing, cheeseburgers and hash browns, and the drink was like $23, two people. The prices are lower. Your gas prices have gone up. The food cost in different places has risen. In a university town, prices are a lot higher because they know that they can demand it out of the students, and they can also demand it out of the parents when they show up. So go figure there. But you take a look at everything that's going on. I mean, we are in such bad monetary straits right now. The debt per citizen is at $99,829 per citizen. because our national debt is $33,515,385,000,000 and climbing. And per taxpayer, it's $258,257. I don't know about you. I don't know about Michael, but we don't have that type of cash to throw around. The country's growing into such a state where we are basically going to go broke. So what are you going to do if the dollar collapses? That's the problem. Are you building up your supply of food? Do you have enough paper towels? Do you have enough toilet paper? Remember COVID? And people didn't have toilet paper and they had to ration it? Well, that was a problem. Cleaning supplies, sanitation sprays. Do you have drinking water? Do you have ways of purifying water? Do you have extra cash? Do you have your communication devices like these GMRS radios? I don't make any money. I'm telling you, $35 for a 10-year license, and these things could help you out in an emergency with your friends and family, okay? There's a lot of stuff out there, and you have to be prepared, because if you're not, things are going to get really nasty. And it's going to happen very, very quickly. And with the stuff that's going on over in the Middle East right now, I don't know what's going to happen in the next week. And I'm worried. I'm not totally scared, but I'm worried about what's going to happen and the spillover that could happen. And I know the temperaments of both parties involved. And they don't like each other. They haven't liked each other for thousands of years. And it will continue to be that way. For some reason, they can't learn to behave. And so we're going to have to protect ourselves, because we don't want it spilling over here. And it could very well happen 2-3 months from now. Who knows? So the time is here to prepare. And if you say, well, oh, you're just giving out a bunch of bunk, we're not going to do it, everything's going to be okay, and then every one of these days you're going to wake up, the dollar will have crashed, okay? Can't use your ATMs to get cash. You don't have any spare cash at home and you're in trouble. You don't have any food to feed your family. Don't say I didn't warn you. And Michael knows that. And Michael, did you get that computer fixed yet?
Oh, yeah, it's already up and running. I'm looking right at it.
Well, we better tell Phil to get ready.
Oh, he knows. I said,
he knows.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I don't even have it running all the way up. I've got it running at, let's see, what do I got it running at? I'll tell you right now.
Well, tell me.
I just have it running right now at about the same as ours, right around 4 gig. It can run all the way up to 5.3 gig, but there's no sense in overclocking it. The maximum is 5.3 megahertz, 5,300 megahertz, 5.3 gig. So it doesn't need to run that fast. It cooks right along. So,
well, and Phil doesn't even run that fast, because I've seen him run.
Yeah, no, it's great, and it's all set. He's all set with it. I'm not going to tax the system. It doesn't need to be. So, you know, I just kept it right around where ours is.
So, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All righty. Well, hey, that's all I've got for this week. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the world on Wednesday with My World Live, Laugh, and Whatever. And I hope everybody has a good week. I hope everybody starts to prep.
Yep, because we're out.
If you haven't already started it, you better start now.
All right. Well, Stu, I've got to go. I got dinner on the table.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Have a great week. Be safe and love one another. God bless. Take care.